Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, the time is upon us. It is finally, the opportunity has come back around for the Lakers to land the big fish they'd been trying to for years, even before LeBron James, even before Anthony Davis. It was LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, Genie can finally do what Jim never could, get LaMarcus Aldridge in a Lakers jersey. And like, you know, if they can do it in less than two meetings, then they also have him beat on frequency of times they met with him.
That to this day is one of my favorite stories of all time.
That was the saddest free agency saga of all time, where like Aldridge's agent had to basically be like, yeah, no, you can leak that that you're meeting with us again to just talk basketball, since I guess we leaked that we were not impressed with your marketing presentation.
Yeah, that was having to do a second meeting because there was too much focus on off-court stuff with LaMarcus Aldridge. I've always wondered, like,
I'm pretty sure it was just like him and his agent meeting with Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak to talk basketball in a hotel room or something. Like, it was something very bizarre for the second meeting.
Yeah. Well, it was literally to save face. Like,
yeah,
they knew walking into that second meeting, they weren't going to get him. They just were like, hey, we also are a basketball organization. So like, hey, we can maybe talk about that for a little bit if you want.
I think it was you that made the joke at the time that the Lakers brought in their analytics department, which was just a guy with an abacus, just
yeah,
showing LaMarcus Aldridge how he would help them out.
We invented PER, or no, they invented plus minus. The Lakers would sit there and say, you know, we were at the forefront of this analytics movement. We started charting the number of points that we scored with certain players on or off the court.
Huh? We actually chart Bill Simmons' favorite basketball stat stocks. We chart stats plus blocks. So that is our only advanced number.
All right. So today's show, there are now three big men who are potential fits for the Lakers here. They already have Damian Jones on the roster. The report from Woj today was that they are getting ready to offer the second 10-day contract starting on Thursday so that they can fully utilize that. The other big who has been rumored, we had a full podcast on Andre Drummond earlier this week. Go back and check that out if you want. And then in the third big, the new one that we just spent the opening of the show riffing about, is now LaMarcus Aldridge. And whether or not that's a fit is an interesting one. So which one do you want to start with, Harrison?
Which big?
Yeah, like which big? If you were to rank those three bigs in terms of fit for the Lakers, if they had access, like all the other noise and all like everything else that's going to go into their decisions aside,
just like in a vacuum, they're LeBron as team captain, just getting to take their pick.
Right. The Lakers just get to walk in, and those three guys are now on their team. If you want to add them.
Okay, so you caught me in the middle because, you know, just to give people a window behind the curtain, this literally just broke as Anthony and I were getting set to start recording. And so I was in the process of him talking there. I was listening to you, but I was also looking up some numbers and trying to figure out, like, okay, like, is Aldridge all right? Like, how good is he? And so I'm not 100% sure I'm ready to rank them yet, but, oh, wow, yeah, this is...
He just saw his defensive numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, I just looked up the defensive numbers, and I'm comfortable saying that I'm gonna move away from LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm just gonna take a step back real quick. Honestly, so like, I know this is gonna sound insane to anyone listening to this that hasn't watched Damian Jones play his revelation of a three-game sample size. Take and make all five shots that he has attempted. But I
would
honestly...
Most efficient scorer in the history of the Lakers.
Yeah, I think I'd go Drummond, and then I think I'd probably go Jones, and then I think I'd go Aldridge. Like, I feel like Aldridge...
That's wild.
Okay, again, this is just gut check. Like, I cannot claim to have watched a whole lot of the Spurs. My main understanding of Aldridge this year is from when the Lakers played the Spurs, they looked better without Aldridge than they did with him. And that is borne out by some of these advanced numbers and listening to people who do keep a tighter eye on this stuff, some Spurs fans and national NBA people. It really does sound like he's like not very good anymore. Yeah. And I think at this point, like, he's 35. I think he's just a name, really, more so than anything. And I mean, on one hand, maybe that makes him a little bit more like he's willing to come in and kind of get have that Tyson Chandler resurgence like he had as like the old guy who just does like the two things that they know that they're supposed to do and they fill a hole and they're totally fine if they aren't playing. But I don't know him well enough to know if that's how his personality is or whatever. And I just feel like Drummond is the best talent available. Jones is the more likely to just like kind of just take the role that he's given and be fine with it. And I need to know a little bit more about where Aldridge is at his career, but it also just appears that, again, maybe this gets better in a more limited role, but it just really does not look like he's very good anymore. The Spurs are, Anthony, they are, hold on, I'm doing some math in my head. They are like almost 8 points per 100 possessions better defensively with him off the floor than they are on.
That sounds about right. He was never a particularly great defender, and as the body slows down, you don't get better defensively, as evidenced by Marc Gasol on occasion. And they are
minus in net rating. They're minus 5.6 with him on and plus 3.1 with him off.
I wonder if like all these guys, the big market is a fascinating one this year. And I honestly think we might get a couple more names added to it.
Yeah, that might be a starters thing because it looks like their starters are not doing great. So maybe they're just like their bench is overmatching against opponent benches, but their starters are kind of undermatched. So maybe there's like a little bit of context with numbers there, but it just does not look like he's super great anymore.
Nope. All right, let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, I'll react to Harrison's ranking there, provide my own, and then we'll continue talking about the reason some of these guys fit versus they don't fit, you know, whether or not they do or do not fit with what the Lakers are trying to do this year. All that here in a bit. Before we do that, though, quick kind of an announcement. So the Locked On Network has partnered with the Locker Room app. And starting next week, I am going to be hopping on there once a week to take questions and do that. It's like a live pseudo radio show, I guess, is the closest thing that we can call it. But you guys will be able to hop on there live and ask questions and interact and all of that stuff. So it's a really cool app. Find it on the iTunes store and get that all loaded up so that when we do start going live, usually after games in the middle of the week, we can all hop on there together. All right, let's pay a couple bills and come back and we'll talk more about bigs. Today's show is brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra. Michelob Ultra's player of the week so far this week is going to be Damian Jones. Sure, LeBron technically is the only Laker who has participated in a basketball game this week. And sure, you probably want to reward the All-Star for actually making the All-Star team. But Damian Jones just brings so much joy and happiness and enjoyment to my Lakers experience. And he's going to win this week's and maybe a few future weeks Michelob Player of the Weeks. Michelob is the best light beer that you're going to drink. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. Those are obscene numbers, kind of like Jones not missing a shot to this point in his Lakers career. Joy creates success, and the joy with which that I get to watch Damian Jones succeed is self-fulfilling. And at the end of the day, enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. And I completely agree with the sentiment there from Michelob Ultra. So go ahead and check out Michelob Ultra. You can find it everywhere that you find beer. If you are going to drink, please do so responsibly. Michelob Ultra one more time, and shouts to Damian Jones this week. Michelob Ultra, Player of the Week. Today's show is also brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Today's bet of the day, we are still waiting for the Lakers to rejoin the rest of the teams that are already playing games. So I'm looking across the NBA slate for today. You have Boston going up against Brooklyn. You have Minnesota playing in New Orleans. And you have New York playing in Milwaukee. And I personally am going to take every opportunity to bet against the Boston Celtics that I can possibly get. So that's going to be today's bet of the day. I'm going to be putting money on the Nets clearing that 3-point spread that is currently sitting there. What BetOnline is essentially telling you is that the Celtics and Nets are about identical in terms of what they're capable of doing, because Brooklyn is giving up only 3 points at home, and I just think Brooklyn is better than Boston right now. So again, head on over to BetOnline where you can follow or fade me and use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Once again, please, if you're going to do any gambling, please do so responsibly. Yeah, so in terms of skill sets, like even if we were talking about prime LaMarcus Aldridge and he was somehow hitting the market right now, I just don't really think that's the kind of big that the Lakers are looking for.
Okay, hold on. Prime LaMarcus Aldridge for the minimum to join this team would be a good sign.
I mean, no, under those circumstances, you acquire the talent. But in terms of like the actual fit here, right? Because that's the question that we're asking. The actual fit, the skill set that the Lakers don't currently have on their roster right now, Aldridge just has never really been the kind. They need somebody who can stand in front of the rim and contest guys at the rim. And they need somebody who can catch lobs and generate vertical spacing that nobody on the Lakers, especially since AD went down, and even maybe before AD went down, the Lakers just haven't really had. And LaMarcus Aldridge is neither of those things. Like
it's almost like a poor man's Gasol at this point. Like it's just replicate. It's just like, I mean, again, maybe he proves me wrong wherever he goes next, but it feels like, you know, again, just at first glance, adding a worse version of a player that you already have and that isn't going to start over that guy. And like, we're getting into all these same conversations that we've had a bunch of times about this center spot and anyone that they could add to it. And I'm just not sure that I see the value add. I mean, I guess maybe the one point in his favor that maybe we're underrating him is per 36 minutes, his like counting numbers are about the same as they've been for his career. He's still scoring somewhat efficiently, like not great, but around in line with his career norms. So, you know, like maybe he does kind of get it together and get revived a little bit in a winning situation, but I'm just not sure that I would be willing to bet on that if I'm the Lakers. Now, again, if you like are down to not that many great options, then sure, like Damian Jones, you know, maybe turns back into a pumpkin at some point during the second 10 day, you know, but again, I don't know. I'd kind of rather have the athletic guy like you're talking about.
Yeah. It's also like one of the concerns here. It's really easy to just say, go get the best talent and make it all work later, especially given the culture and the chemistry that the Lakers have across the organization right now. It's really easy to just say, like, it doesn't matter who they get. Either they buy in or they don't, and they waive them, and the Lakers are still fine either way. That's all well and good, but I don't know. Does LaMarcus Aldridge want to extend his career? Because if so, he's going to be looking for numbers at the next destination that he has, that he goes to. We know that Andre Drummond, he's only 27 years old. We know that Andre Drummond is going to be looking for opportunity at his next destination. Damian Jones, like, I think he kind of knows what the situation is. You know, like he knows that he is a third or fourth big. And if he can grow into more than that, great. But I think he kind of understands that the best way, just based on the way that he's played so far, the best way to earn a larger role either with the Lakers or continue to earn a role in the NBA is to do whatever it takes to win. And the knock on Andre Drummond has been, yeah, he's super talented, but he doesn't always do what it takes to win. He wants his post touches. He wants his pinch post touches, and he wants to do whatever it takes to get his numbers. And LaMarcus Aldridge is another guy who, even at his apex, was not somebody who really lent himself very, very well to winning at the highest levels, right? And I just think for my bigs, unless you have an Anthony Davis, unless you have a Nikola Jokic, give me the, you know, to compare them to a running back in the NFL, give me the 3.5 yard guy who, you know, you can put in when it's 3rd and 8 and you can get the first down and then go back to your superstar big and have them do, or your superstar running back, and have them do the kind of things that you really need to, for the explosive offenses in the NFL. That's where I kind of stand on both Drummond and Damian Jones. And what I'm saying right now, Harrison, as hot a take as it sounds like, I think I'd rather have Damian Jones over both of those guys.
No, I think if you're going to make the case for Damian Jones, then I think the case is that he is a guy who very much understands what he is in the NBA, especially on this team, and is going to do that. I still would make the play for Drummond because I think, look, as nice of a story as Jones has been, and maybe he proves me wrong on this, like, Drummond is a far more talented player, and you think that he'd be incredibly motivated to come in and do what it takes to, like, you know, prove the doubters wrong, that he never should have been in a position to get bought out, that the Nets never should have picked Jared Allen over him, or, you know, whatever. Like, and so I would rather take the player with the same type of skill. Like, if you're just taking shots on a third big anyway and seeing if maybe they can supplant one of your guys, or, you know, as a great break glass in case of emergency option, I'd still rather have the more talented guy, because I don't think that Andre Drummond is going to come in to his second team this year, a team with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and, like, blow up the locker room. So I'm not super worried about that. And so I'd rather take the more talented player, but I understand where you're coming from on Jones, in just the sense of, like, maybe you know exactly what you're getting from him, but I just think that the Lakers, I have a pretty good amount of confidence that LeBron would be able to get Andre Drummond to buy in to his role, whatever that may be, for the rest of this year. And so I would still have him ahead of Jones. And look, again, Jones has played well, but we've seen, you know, him have solid stretches at his past team stops from talking to people that covered those teams and fans of those teams and whatever. And it just sounds like his only NBA skill is dunking. And he's done that well for the Lakers so far.
The Lakers have one guy on their team whose NBA skill is dunking. One other guy.
No, that's fair. But you know who else is good at dunking? Andre Drummond.
Well, he's all right. He's huge, but he's not the athlete that Damian Jones is the thing. Like, people think of Kendrick Perkins was out there saying that Andre Drummond is this dynamic role player in the pick and roll. And it's like, he finishes a lot more closely to Montrezl Harrell than he does Damian Jones. Like, he's not a lob threat. You heard this on the show this last, I think it was Wednesday, I think, or no. Yeah. Yesterday, the day before, where Chris was telling you guys that, like, his rebounds are a lot of his own misses kind of guy. He's a giant human being, and there's benefit to that. But, like, again, he's not LaMarcus. LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond, they're giant human beings who take up a ton of space, aren't super athletes. And the Lakers have a guy like that already in Marcus All. Like, I don't need the duplication of those skill sets in versus having somebody who does completely different things. If you already have a ton of pepper in your cupboard, and
what are these analogies today?
You know, I'm hungry is a thing. I'm starving. Jen is making enchiladas in the next room.
Like, you're just all over the place with these.
Well, I mean, you got to let me make it. So, like, you're newly married-ish, and you guys have one of those seasoning wheels, right? You guys have a collection of seasonings in your house. It's not just,
I mean, we don't have a wheel, but yes, yeah.
Yeah. So
we're not that fancy, Anthony. I'm just a blogger.
So, like, just imagine having plenty of pepper and nothing else on your wheel or your collection of spices or whatever. And then you're walking through the store and you just go out and you buy, like, white pepper, like a different kind of pepper. And I just don't think the Lakers exist? White pepper?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what, like, Outback uses in their ranch. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, I thought that that's what you called salt. And I was going to break some news to you.
This it's white like pepper is like not.
I was like, Anthony, those are two different things.
But, like, there's like there's like ground black pepper, there's like peppercorn, there's all these different kind of peppers, and you have, you know, you have a solid amount of pepper in your arsenal already, and you could add something, you know, Italian seasoning or something like that. And instead of that, you're like, nope, give me more pepper. And I just don't think that's where the Lakers need to go right now. Does the analogy make more sense now?
No, I mean, I understood where you were going with the analogy.
Because I could keep it going.
Yeah.
I could do it with a different seasoning. You have a ton of granulated sugar, and you're like, you know what? I need some cane sugar.
I understand the analogy. I think you're underselling Drummond a little bit. And I also think that you're underselling, like, again, the Lakers LeBron factor of these guys are going to play harder when they get to a winning situation. Maybe I'm guilty of this again with LaMarcus, but like for me, I just think that I'd take a chance on the guy with the more proven NBA talent and see what happens, because I think that he has a better, because in my mind, like, none of these guys are supplanting Marc Gasol or Trez in the rotation, most likely, barring a trade or, you know, something unexpected or whatever. But if those guys are on the roster, I'm not sure that they're getting supplanted. Like, how many centers can the Lakers play? You know, they can't play that many. And then they already have Anthony Davis, who's going to play minutes at the five. So for me, I'm not looking at it from the perspective of give me something different that I don't have, that you don't really do at like that super incredibly high of a level. And you're also bad at other things. I'd rather have the guy who, even if there is some replication, is also the better talent. And, you know, if Marc Gasol gets hurt, or if Trez gets traded, or, you know, if Anthony Davis misses a little bit more time than you're expecting, this is a guy that can come in and be counted on for a little bit more than, you know, we really started to see the limitations, I think, of Damian Jones, you know, even by the time of that third Kings game, where if he's just not being spoon-fed, it's just going to be tough out there for him. And he plays hard, and I want to give him credit. It's a nice story, but I am not totally all the way in yet.
All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I was thinking about something when it comes to Montrezl Harrell, and kind of to the point that you were making about how many centers do the Lakers actually need, given that like Davis is going to play all the important minutes at center anyway. So I want to build on some of that here in a bit. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now, and you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Today's show is brought to you also in part by Built Bar. Look, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now the time, though, is to find out which Built Bar is the best of all the Built Bars. Today's matchup, you have a fun one. The winner between Apple Almond Crisp and Churro Puff is going to be taking on Cookies and Cream, who got a first round bye. And you have Peanut Butter Brownie and Raspberry fighting against each other for the chance of taking on Coconut Almond, who also had a first round bye. Look, I love Churro Puff as much as the next person, and I would normally ride it all the way to the promised land, but Cookies and Cream is just, it's unbelievable how good that bar tastes. So they're going to be my favorite in that matchup. And then Coconut Almond, it honestly tastes like a Almond Joy, if you ever had those or enjoyed those. And so that going up against Peanut Butter Brownie would be my prediction. And geez, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to go with Coconut Almond in that one as well. So really fun matchups there. Great flavors all around. And they are so filling, and they are actually good for you. The kind of snack that you eat and then afterward you actually feel better about yourself because it was a better choice than the bag of chips you might have reached for otherwise. And you can head on over to BuiltBar.com and then enter the promo code BuiltBar20 to get 20% off your next order. One more time, that is BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code BuiltBar20 for 20% off your next order. So, to your point about number of centers that the Lakers actually need here, I've actually thought about that a lot. Like, why they have Damian Jones already, and obviously,
Anthony, can I just stop for a second and just say, as long as I'm here on this podcast, I want to appreciate that you are, for better or worse, the only one who is taking Damian Jones into consideration in your analysis of the Lakers center spot. Like, you are, like, if he actually pops, and everyone needs to credit you as being the guy driving the bandwagon. I'm not, like, when they make the photoshops of, like, Damian Jones Island or, you know, whatever kind of neighborhood that we're going to have.
Me and a palm tree.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's right now, it's you in a hammock with like a Wilson ball with a face drawn on it. Uh-huh. But then if by the end of the playoffs, there are a bunch of people, it's like a bustling metropolis, you know, like we need to have you as the king of this because you're the only one when people are like, what should the Lakers do at center? You're like, well, they already have Damian Jones. And so, and you're just like, you're not even penciling him in. You're like tattooing him in to the calculus here. As like, I mean, can anyone they bring in play over Damian Jones? And look, I don't know. I'm not there yet, but I respect you completely leaning into the take and just having already decided that he is like the greatest center in Lakers history. And a guy like, I'm not going to lie, the other night on the Silver Screen and Roll podcast, when you were about to make the case for him, paused, looked at his averages and his plus minus, and then we're just like,
just that game. It was that one game. I was like, look at
all time great podcasting moment.
I just think there are things that are important in NBA basketball that the Lakers didn't really have on their roster before he showed up. So they could have had anybody. Anybody who did the things that Damian Jones does, which is literally be big and athletic and go up and catch the occasional lob. And I would have been thrilled to see that. It didn't matter who it is. I would have been on this island for that player. And it says something that the bigs that we're seeing become available here don't do that, because those bigs that don't do that, they're a lot less valuable than the bigs who do. Because like, LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't offer you floor spacing. Andre Drummond doesn't really offer you floor spacing. And like, if you aren't offering floor spacing, whether it be from 3-point range, which I think Aldridge did improve over the course of his career as a 3-point shooter, especially from the corners, he became at least decent in that regard.
He's shooting 36% from there and was 38.9 last year. So he has improved for sure.
So like he can at least in theory improve, although 38% 3-point shooters typically become 28% 3-point shooters when they arrive in the Lakers facility.
But you got to subtract 10% from whatever their average was before.
It's just an immediate regression for whoever shows up. But for like, if you're thinking of ways that you can make an offense more dynamic, it's in an offense, by the way, headed by LeBron James, right? So adding creativity to an offense that already has Dennis Schroeder, already has LeBron James, and already has somebody like Anthony Davis or Marc Gasol to a lesser extent. If you're trying to find ways to make that offense more dynamic, it's like, all right, well, either space the floor or become, you know, go get a finisher on the pick and roll to fully utilize what some of these guys' skill sets are. And like Drummond isn't a lob finisher, and LaMarcus Aldridge, even at his apex, was not really a lob finisher. And so,
yeah, if the Lakers are throwing lobs to LaMarcus Aldridge, something has gone wrong. Yeah, or he is very open.
Well, and you know, look at the entire roster, especially as it is right now, because Davis is hurt. Who catches lobs on the Lakers? There isn't.
I mean, according to you, even when Davis was out there, he didn't catch enough lobs.
He didn't, to be completely honest.
and not to start the season, no.
Yeah, and so, you know, where the Lakers stand right now, that's an element to their offense that they just haven't had this year. And it's an important one, given some of the creativity that they have on the ball. So give me anybody. In this case, it's Damian Jones who can optimize that creativity by being a decent finisher around the rim. And there you go. That's the big that I would prefer. So yeah, like maybe it'll turn out that at the end of the year, I'll be able to run a victory lap around everybody for being right about Damian Jones. But it's like, it could have been any big who finishes. I think that's why JaVale and Dwight were as valuable as they were last year for the Lakers, because they did that. And that element of the Lakers offense was there. They traded in some of that element of their offense for guys who can either space the floor or are more creative with the ball. And it's kind of shown in some ways the Lakers look a lot better offensively. In other ways, some of the Lakers possessions look a little stunted because that's something that the defense never has to worry about.
I think that one thing that we have to account for here, though, is it did look like Marc Gasol was starting to find a little bit of a rhythm. And again, we don't know when he's going to be back. We don't know what's up with him or how it will affect him moving forward, or even how the time out of the lineup will affect him moving forward. If he's just in contact tracing, we have no idea what's going on with him right now or when he'll be back as of this recording. Mm-hmm. But it did look like he was starting to find his rhythm. And I thought that when he was being a little bit more aggressive, all of a sudden you start to see why they tried to make that upgrade and why they were doing that. And so I guess the hope is that, you know, going into the second half of the season is, number one, that he's okay just in general. And number two, that he is able to kind of get that rolling a little bit again, and that you're able to have kind of that element in your offense. Because I agree with you that right now the offense looks worse than it did in the regular season last year, and might even be worse in terms of effectiveness. In fact, I would imagine it is, but I'm not 100% sure on that, and mm-hmm. haven't looked. But the thing that I think that we have to account for is that it could get better. All these guys are tired. I know that it's like broken record hearing all this stuff, but the other thing too is, for as much as, you know, like the Lakers starting every game with a lob to JaVale, or trying to lob it to JaVale basically until opponents figured it out and tried to stop them, to start every single game, that's mm-hmm. a couple free points. That's not nothing. Yeah. That kind of gets everyone going. It gets the enthusiasm started to start the game, whatever. You know, like, I'm sure they miss that. I'm sure that they miss having two guys whose skill sets are so similar that you can basically do the same thing regardless of who's on the floor. Even if, you know, one guy in Dwight maybe does it a little better, you still have basically two of the same player and you're able to swap them in and out. But as important as all of that stuff was, and I do think that there were parts of it that were important, you know, again, I hate to sound like a broken record here, but when it mattered, like, it didn't matter, you know, like, yeah, JaVale was right. Nailed to the bench for most mm-hmm. of this. And, you know, I think Ouch. That maybe, I mean, he was nailed to the bench for most of the postseason.
I'm just saying, like, that would hurt like a lot.
Oh, that yeah, I would imagine, and probably really would be a violation of health and safety protocols too.
I don't think so.
He'd and just a, human decency.
He'd have a gripe, a legal suit, I think, against the Lakers right now.
JaVale sacrificed himself so that the Lakers' sins at the rim could be cleansed by Anthony Davis.
Right.
No, but like, he wasn't instrumental to anything the Lakers did in the playoffs. When it matters, Anthony Davis is going to be that guy, or they're kind of screwed. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to. And, you know, I'm not sure that there's any big that's necessarily fixing that unless they're donating their Achilles to Anthony Davis, you know? And so And like, then that again, we're getting into like medical. JaVale,
like, he went from last year being literally nailed to the bench to like, hey, JaVale, can we have your Achilles?
This year, he's an organ donor for the team. And so, no, I mean, you can't pick up a guy off the buyout market for spare parts for AD. Like, that's not allowed under the CBA. And so, you know, I think this is only a problem. This is a regular season problem right now. And if it becomes a postseason problem, then the fact that it's even a problem
is indicative
of a bigger problem. Yeah. And like Lamar, you know, Mark is going to play how many minutes at center a game during the playoffs? Like right now, I think he's playing 24 minutes a game. During the playoffs, he'll play what? Like 15, 19, something. Yeah. You know, Trez will play 10 to 15 there. And then the rest are probably AD. And, you know, I don't see where the minutes are for a third center, you know, that is going to come in and make, no matter what their skill set is, that's going to come in and make a difference if both of those guys are still on the team, which kind of does lead us to like, you know, is this Trez stuff going to happen? You know, I'm not, again, this isn't reporting. I don't think either of us have heard anything, but it does seem like there's more and more speculation that over the last couple of weeks that, hey, like, maybe the Lakers would move on from Trez to get someone who helps out their wing depth or whatever. And then you sign one of these centers off the buyout market to plug that hole. And maybe you need that for the postseason. And I don't know, but like, unless you're doing something like that, then this whole debate over the third center just is not interesting and doesn't matter to me for as much ink and time as I've spent talking about it the last several weeks.
Well, it's an extra roster spot, so you may as well use it. And there aren't enough wings on the market to go out and get two wings, I don't think. And even then, like,
Deion Waiters right now.
Right. Well, even if there were two wings available who would help the Lakers in ways that the Lakers need the help, they wouldn't both sign with the Lakers because they're going to be looking for opportunity. Right?
Well, so, and then you're running into the same problem as the Lakers have right now with the big spot where, like, where are you getting minutes for these guys?
But all that, everything that you just said just leads me back to, wouldn't, like, if your concern is duplication of skills, then wouldn't you want to diversify even those skills as best you can? Like, if the concern there is like, there just aren't enough minutes to feasibly have a third big on the roster, then why would you sign a third big who does a lot of the things that Marc Gasol does for you anyway? Like, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that, like, if you're looking for ways to fill out this roster and use that 15th roster spot, which I think the Lakers are going to do anyway, right? Wouldn't it make more sense to go with a player? Not saying it's specifically Damian Jones. Like, there might be a different player, another bouncy big that makes their way out to the buyout market. Like, if that player is, you know, becomes available and there's another bouncy big out there who can do the things that Damian Jones does, let alone better, then yeah, cool. Let's just, that's perfectly fine for me. I would rather use
the roster spot than that. Thank you for acknowledging that it is possible that there's someone that does these things better than Damian Jones.
I mean,
Jones.
It would have to be like Wilt, but sure. Like, if
I don't know, Wilt is a lot shorter. He may not have that length and athleticism.
I mean, show me the season where Wilt didn't miss a shot, Harrison. Like, find me that season.
Look, it wasn't for lack of trying on his part. You know, he was trying to pump those stats up as best he could.
Yeah, he definitely shot his shot off and on the court. But the thing with the Lakers is that, yeah, they're no matter what the Lakers do here, there is going to be some duplication of skill sets here. So if there is going to be duplication of skill sets, why not sign the guy who is going to probably be a little bit more open to being the third big on the roster? And by the way, like, the fact that Jones is already the third big on the roster, and whoever they do add who replaces Jones is probably also going to be the third big on the roster, that tells me that Drummond probably isn't coming. Like, he wouldn't be interested in being that kind of a player, or even Aldridge. Like,
what makes me wonder, is there a move with Trez in the works? Because it just makes too much, like, you're not getting anything for Mark. Trez still has value. on the trade market. And as a guy who maybe when it matters isn't playing for you, or at least not in high leverage moments anyway, was always kind of looked at as more of an innings eater to be during the regular season to begin with. Now that you're closing down the stretch of that, I'm very interested to see what happens here. Again, this is not sourced. I'm just thinking out loud of, you know,
just like combining all the reports.
I'm just looking at the roster and what makes sense. And if they're looking at all these guys and they're trying to compete with Brooklyn for any of these guys, you got to be able to offer something, because the Nets can offer more money and possibly a better opportunity. The only way that you can offer a better opportunity, barring, you know, like player politics, maybe there's like guys that don't like each other that we don't know about, and guys that are really close with certain members of the Lakers that we don't know about, whatever. The only way that you can create that other more opportunity is by moving on from one of the bigs that you currently have and trying to use them to plug a hole elsewhere on your roster. But then even doing that midseason is a big culture shock and change, not to mention the clutch dynamic of it with Trez and how excited he clearly was to be a Laker to start the year. You know, it's just a lot. I do not envy Rob Pelinka's job right now in trying to figure out, you know, over the next, I think it's like 2 weeks, the 25th is the trade deadline. So yeah, like almost exactly 2 weeks, figuring out how much does he need to add and tweak to this roster.
The clutch dynamic is why I don't think they move Harrell. Like I just,
me too. I'm not,
like that's just at the end, you know, it's been,
unless
it's,
he wants
it's
to
kind
go,
of gone we saw unsaid them look mostly, into,
but we saw them look into KCP stuff a couple years ago when he was open to it as well. So
and then what happened?
Well, and then they didn't move him, but
right. Like they would have to find a situation for Harrell. Like say they found a fit where he could, you know, maybe go out to New York or something like that and go play a big role in a big city or a big market or something like that. Then maybe I could see that. But there you're talking about the circumstances being so specific that I just don't see them really moving him. And which again leads you back to Damian Jones. It's Dame time is what I'm saying, Harrison. Isn't it nice to have a Dame time that you actually like?
Yeah. No, look, I respect this Dame time a lot more for sure.
Hey, Jones has yet to miss a shot during Dame time that I can recall.
I also, just to close the loop on the LaMarcus Aldridge thing, I did think that it was funny that our friend Tim Krangis McBasketball had the exact same reaction to pulling up his player profile on B-Ball Index versus I just was on the NBA one. He just said, oh, no, thank you.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of ugly on the defensive side of things. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete, we'll be back. And we will go over some of this and get you guys ready for actual basketball. Thank goodness. Jen doesn't have to talk to me as much anymore. Another reminder, go out there and download that Locker Room app so that we can get a nice, strong conversation out there on whatever those airwaves look like. This is going to shock you guys, but I haven't really used the app quite yet.
Wow. No way. Really?
You know, they weren't offering to pay me before.
Be prepared? That's just shocking. I will say, just as a free plug for you, Anthony, just because I'm a nice guy like that, it is a fun app. I think that it's like a cool app. And like some of the conversations that I've listened to it are interesting because it's not just two podcasters having a conversation. Like it's, you know, it's people answering that. Maybe you have questions for them, answering what you want to know about from people who have the same questions as you do, or you yourself. Like it is more interactive in a different and more inclusive way, I think, than Twitter is.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's been a long time since we did anything live with this. And by the way,
I'm excited for people to jump in there and yell at you. They're like, I have a question, and they just start screaming at you about a take that you had on Damian Jones. Like, I'm ready for this. I'll be tuning into everyone.
This is Harrison saying that he's gonna hop on there and just scream. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.